microphone. Would you get one from your mother, please? Titus chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 4 and 5. That's our two verses this morning, verse 4 and 5. We had a wonderful Sunday school for all of you that were there. Dave, where did you go? You're in the back. I want to say this to Dave. You said you second-guessed everything. I'm too old for second-guessing. However, what if you know more than one sermon? This morning, my problem is I want to say three different things, and I'm going to have to settle on one. Lest we would be here till tomorrow. So this morning, I'm going to begin a series on the book of Titus. It's going to be a short series. Hopefully, it'll be over by the summer or something. And it will be, so everybody knows, interrupted. By the grace of God, if I'm in my right mind and healthy, I'm going to do that which I have been putting off for 40 years. And I don't think I should put it off any longer. I've always said that I don't think I am mature enough to preach on the text. I still don't know if I'm mature enough, but in the future, around Easter, I'll be speaking on Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that, buddy. That'll be sometime around Easter, so we will interrupt the material on Titus. After Titus, probably James. I finished Ecclesiastes with the exception of the last two verses. And I'm not going to speak on the last two verses at this time. Not because I want to miss them, but because every Baptist preacher that's ever lived preaches on those two verses. And that doesn't interest me as much. All right, let's all stand, please. We're going to consider this morning from two verses. By the way, when you walk out of the door, if you are alive and well and you are a Christian, those are three statements, alive, well, and a Christian, you will be able to answer. The question is, what is the will of God? Now, you might not be able to know what is my particular will. There's a lot of, and I'm not going to preach on that. I'm just asking and answering a big question. What is the will of God? By the way, not Pastor Warren's ideas. It's from, shockingly, from the text. We're going to talk about Titus and what God's will was for him, and we'll expand that into your world. So when you walk out this morning, if you're listening, you'll be able to ascertain what the will of God. And by the way, it's the same for every person in this room in this sense. Titus 1 and verse 4. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, which means there's only one faith, folks. You know, there's not a faith for Peter and a faith for James. And that's silliness. Everybody has the same faith handed down. From the Old Testament, through the Lord Jesus, he's the fulfillment, through the apostles, summarized in the scripture, we all have the common faith. Then he encourages Titus by saying this, grace, mercy, and peace. I believe in the ESV, one of those words is missing, not important because you still get the ideas, grace, mercy, and peace, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So the book is addressed to a man by the name of Titus. I spoke about Titus a few weeks back on a Sunday night. Verse 5 is the key verse. For this cause. Titus, do you know why I left you in this place called Crete? For this cause left I thee in Crete. This is the cause that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. And ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. We're not going to explain the last part of that verse. I'm going to deal with three components of the will of God this morning. I want everybody to grasp three simple concepts. So, by the way, I'm looking at you. If you're a believer, I have to say that. Because, as everybody knows, there are believers, there are unbelievers. My father was an unbeliever. Never, ever in my lifetime lied. Do you all understand the distinction? There are people in this room that have people in your family that they're all Christians. There are believers, there are unbelievers, and then there are make-believers. And we have a large group of that in the broader Christian world. They play. But if you're a believer here this morning, this is the will of God for you. Three components. That's what we're going to talk about. Father, thank you for this time. Help me as I try to go through this beautiful text. I have spoken on this subject 10, 15 years ago on 1 Timothy 1, which has a similar construct. Help me to be able to share simple ideas this day, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Late 1990s. It could have been 96. Could not have been 96. Could have been 97. Could have been 98. Could have been 99. Somewhere in there, in my class, high school, across the hall over here, 208, I assigned all of my students a question that I used to do, but I found out it was a waste of my energy. I said, I want you to take a piece of paper, front and back, and just simply write down a simple question. What do you want to do when you grow up? What is the will of God for you? By the way, I was asking them for them, not for me. And I said, once you write it, I'll have you talk to the class for 5 minutes explaining what you're going to do in the future. Seemed like a... I wish somebody would ask me that question when I was in high school. What do you want to do? What do you want to become? What do you want? And then I put in there God's will for you. Well, came time for a young man to get up to speak. Obviously unprepared for 5 minutes of speaking and two pages. Didn't have time to think about his life. Got up to speak, unprepared, full of bluster, ego, and frankly, anger. He mumbled, he stumbled, and he finally blurted out, I just want to make money. Okay? Another year or two later, same question, same page, same thing. Another young man got up, and this is what he said. He did the same thing. It's like, is this hard? Let me ask you, what do you want to become? What do you want to do in life? Have you thought about simple questions? He got up, another young man, and he didn't say money. He said, I just want to be. I'm going to translate this from English into Kapapangan. I just want to be oppy, oppy, oppy. I want to be happy. That's what he said. I want to be happy. I got a question for you. Have you ever met a person on planet Earth that didn't want to be happy? What kind of an answer was that? I want to be happy. Well, this morning, I'm going to talk about how to be happy, but I'm not really going to use that language. As we look at the text this morning, there are three components to the will of God found in this text, and I think they're universal. And if you spend a lot of time trying to prove me wrong while I'm preaching, you're wasting your life. Actually, listen to the scripture. Titus 1 and verse 5. I have it in reasonably bold print. For this cause left I thee in Crete. Crete. That thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So you say, Pastor Warren, what is the will of God? Let me give you the first simple concept. It's a place to settle down. The will of God is not the sky. The will of God is not on the move. There always has to be, are you ready? A Crete. There is no will of God any other place. Titus, this is what you're to do. Stay on Crete. Right here, do what you're supposed to do because the will of God always has a place to settle down. There is no will of God. I want to move to the farm. I want to move to the city. I want to move to the country. I want to move to the creek. Shut up. The will of God always has, look at me, a Crete. Now, probably none of you live in Crete. I'm going to show a map. It'd be interesting if you even know where Crete is. By the way, it's where it used to be, believe it or not. Do I have maps there next? Can you see the map? By the way, the two big islands you need to know about. One is over close to what's modern-day Turkey. This is a map from 117 AD of the Roman Empire. Over towards Turkey, which is close to the Promised Land, is the island of Cyprus. And Cyprus is where Barnabas was from. Crete is the other island. I think it's the largest island in the Mediterranean, due north of North Africa, where actually Carthage would have been at one time. Straight north, and it's the elongated island here, straight south of the Greek Isles. That's Crete. Go ahead and show us the next picture. That's what Crete looks like today. Small island. I'll get to how big it is in a moment. And then I'm going to pick on this in a minute. The next picture. Is there another picture? You want to go visit? Just leave that picture there, Christy, if you would. Crete is an island. It's 160 miles long. It's 7.3 miles wide, or 36 miles wide at the widest area. It is in the Mediterranean. Knossos was the capital of the Minoan civilization, which was destroyed well before this period of time. In 1420, at the very latest, it was destroyed. Crete. There's a place. It's called Crete. The will of God always has a place to settle down. Let me say this, friend. I've been pastoring a long time. You know what you learn when you pastor a long time? Half of the people in this room. Let me step back. I could call, if you would like, I will record the voice of 10 or 15 pastors and ask them, how many people in your church are interested in moving? And I'll ask all over the country. A buddy of mine said 50%. I said, well, that's awful high, isn't it? He says, if you paid him $10,000 more, they'd move to hell. Everybody, by the way, the will of God for most people is this. It's not where they've settled. It's where they're going. They got to go someplace. By the way, now let me just say this. Let's just say the will of God for you is to move. You're going to move to a beautiful place, Wakefield, Michigan. Or if you don't like Wakefield, how about the Keweenaw Peninsula? You know the little thumb that goes into Lake Superior? In 1979, when I got married that winter, they had 390 inches of snow in the Keweenaw Peninsula, over 33 feet. You say, nobody wants to live. Oh, people want to live there for reasons. By the way, the will of God, there's a place to settle. There's always a Crete. There's always a Crete. It's a place. It's not no place. It's not every place. It's not any place. It's a place. I have it up here, Christy, if you want to put it. I'll use my name, but I'll use Paul's too. Pastor Warren or Paul. I don't like Crete. Look at me, everybody. I hate Crete. I hate being here. I hate where I am. By the way, I'm talking generically. I'm not talking to anybody here about where you live. I just know people. I want to be some other place. I hate this place. Pastor Warren, Christy, can you go back to that picture for a moment? The pretty one? Is that pretty to you? Can I say this to all of you people? Do you realize on Crete, they don't have any black soil like I grew up with in Illinois? Do you realize on Crete, there's not a single river that I would call a creek? I grew up around the mighty Mississippi, the Illinois, the Missouri. Do you realize there's no lakes there? We live by one of the largest lakes in the world called, but I don't want to go see that because I want to go. That's our problem. By the way, the will of God always has a place to settle. Just settle down, enjoy where you're at, serve God in Crete. You say, Pastor Warren, I don't like, or Paul, I don't like Crete. I can hear Titus complaining, sitting with his coffee. I don't know if they drink coffee. Sitting with his coffee with his buddy saying, I hate this place. There's no lakes like Lake Michigan. No lakes like Lake Superior. There's no rivers like the Mississippi or the Illinois or the Missouri or the Ohio. There's not even a Winnebago or a Conemaugh-sized lakes. Besides, look at me, Pastor Warren. There's not even a Walmart. And for all of you that are interested, I'm almost positive there's not a Buc-ee's on Crete today. You say, why? The island's too small for a Buc-ee's. We drove past one someplace in the south. Jenny said, let's turn in. It's like, someday maybe. Pastor Warren, I hate this place. Okay. Something that I learned this about 30 years ago. I share it with you today. It is a quote. I don't know where I got the quote from now. That's the problem. The person said this, here is no better than there. For when you finally get there, there becomes, can everybody say with me, there becomes, and you start looking far? By the way, if you've been in the military, it was built into you. Did you hear me? It was built into you. The moment you get there and get all ensconced, and if you don't know what ensconced is, ask Pastor Kwok after the service. You're all ensconced. You got your nest all feathered, but you know in 3 or 4 years you're hitting the road, so you're already looking there, and then you're going to be happy when you get there, and then you get there, and it's not perfect. Then you're going to be, yeah. So friends, I don't have to read this. I can quote it. Here is no better than there. Because when you finally get there, there just becomes here. And then you're automatically looking for a new there. I learned that, not that quote. I learned that concept in my first year or so in the United States Navy. I transferred to the, now listen, I'm a Navy guy, Dan, sorry. Not Army. My dad always hated me because I wasn't, you know, in the real Army. You know, that was my father. But if you were a corpsman, the best place to be was Bethesda. That's where you had all the research. That's where you had all the opportunities. I got transferred to Bethesda Naval Hospital to go to school at George Washington. I was there a week or two before the school started, before I started George Washington University. They, believe it or not, the Navy required us to work. So they asked us, how many of you guys could type? I could type. So they took me up to the towers at Bethesda. Jim, have you been there? The towers? I think it's 18 floors up. And I worked for BUMED for 2 weeks, typing orders and typing stuff. So I'm up there and somebody walks up to me and say, oh, you guys are new here. There was two of us. I said, yes. Where did you come from? Dave, this is for you. I had just spent my previous months hating Parris Island with the Marines. I didn't like the Marines. I didn't like the sand. I didn't like South Carolina. I never lost anything in South Carolina. I could skip South Carolina for the rest of my existence. And I had spent all that time, look at me, friends, doing what? Complain, complain, complain. I am now at Mecca, the place to be for a corpsman. I have arrived. I am accomplished. And I said, well, we came from Parris Island. And I mean, he didn't blink. Out of his mouth, he said, I'd love to be there. I hate this place. What did I learn for you sailors? Where you're from and where you're going, you'll be happy. Which means, you're never going to be happy anyplace. By the way, look at me. The will of God always has a Crete. And you're not going to have a Buc-ee's on Crete. And probably not a Walmart. And if you're into Starbucks, probably not Starbucks. Or 10, it used to be $5. Now it's $10. It's the same. Titus, for this cause left I thee in Crete. You say, Pastor Warren, what is your favorite place to be? I'm going to say a lot of things. I'm saying it for you, not for me. My favorite place to be is wherever God has put me. When I pastored in St. Louis, I thought that would be my favorite place to be for the rest of my life. You say, why? We have a baseball team in St. Louis sometimes. Number two, we have the Mississippi. Number three, it's not far from home. Number a thousand reasons. God brings me here. I will tell you this. This has been my favorite place to live. Now, some of you are like, you say why? Let me give you some reasons. Food. Friends, all you got to do, my taquito friend over here, is go to Springfield, Illinois to a Mexican restaurant and realize it's a Mexican name with Taco Bell food. I got Mexican restaurants, and he keeps telling me of a new one. It's like, there's only so many places I can eat in a week. The food's around here. My wife and I went. The Tuppers are not here. We went to a place in Kenosha. The Grill House, is that what it was called? Oh, my goodness, they had good Mediterranean food. I like the food. I like the cultures. I like to talk about two people and with people that don't look like me. You say, I don't like that. Well, I do. I would tell you I don't like it. I love it. I like to find out where you're from. By the way, I was going to say this earlier. Sonia, bienvenida, hermana. You're back from Belize. Welcome back. By the way, I like to find out where she's from. And by the way, she's not even directly from Belize, by way of El Salvador. Right, sister? By the way, don't you? I love cultures. If I lived and pastored where I grew up, the cultures would all look like me. That's exciting. They would have the same potato salad, the same. I was going to ask, does anybody in this room outside of a few know what wilted lettuce is? By the way, wilted lettuce is a health food dish. Lettuce, onions, vinegar, sugar, bacon grease. Sends you right to heaven. By the way, I haven't had that since once or twice since childhood. Why? Because everybody where I'm from cooks it. Nobody cooks it. They've never heard of it hardly up here. By the way, languages. I like hearing languages. I like the museums. I like Lake Michigan. I'm going to say this to you. I wouldn't want to be in another place. Now, hear me. I'm being very direct to you. I like to visit other places. I love the American Southwest for vacation. Would I like to live in sandstorms? Not on your life. I've been in one. That was enough. But by the way, if God moved me there, guess what would happen? I would learn this would be my favorite place. You'd learn. You adapt, of course. You say, Pastor Warren, what about the snow? Snow doesn't bother me particularly. How about the cold? I'm cold-hearted, cold-blooded. None of that bothers me either. How about the Great Lakes gloom? I don't care for that. Now, hear me, friend. I don't love everything about this place, but I love most things. And you see it on TikTok videos? Somebody's car is covered with a foot of snow. It's a woman out there shoveling the snow off their car, and she's saying, but we don't have hurricanes. We don't have alligators. We don't have earthquakes. We don't have forest fires. And you know what I say? Amen. And if you're out there among the forest fire, don't you complain. Well, we have a forest fire, global warming. Shut up. They always have them out there. By the way, and we always get snow here. I get along. This is for no one in this room, because they're all gone. They've either died. The only people that would remember this would be Bambi, probably. I used to have a group of people my first 10 years here that said this to me over and over and over. You're only going to stay here till your children graduate from high school. Well, that worked out real well for them, didn't it? By the way, folks, you don't move to a place because you like the school. That's not the point. I would say this. I'm going to give you some practical thoughts. First of all, if God's put you here in Crete, find the good. There's lots and lots and lots and lots of good. Yesterday, I got a text or an email, saying, great restaurant. They said the best buffet in Illinois. And by the way, I need a buffet. I need to buffet my body. Play on words there, folks. Does anybody know what it is? It's a Polish smorgasbord in the north side of Chicago. Apple something. Jenny, we've been there a couple times. You say, do you go there often? If I want to go to heaven very quickly, I go there often. By the way, find the good friends. Ignore the not so good. I think that's simple to do, because no matter where you are, there are some not so good. And I would say this, adapt, enjoy, find God's goodness wherever you are. A few years back, I wish I had kept this, and I did not. It bothers me that I didn't. I read in a, and I don't normally, it must have been on Real Clear Politics or a place like that. It was the New York Times, and it was a woman. I believe, I don't remember, either New York City, Washington, D.C., or Boston. She was from one of those places. Have you been to those places? I'd want to shoot myself twice to live in those places. She was a professor at one of the universities. I think one of the big universities, hadn't yet got tenure. She, I don't know, not a believer. She meets a guy. The guy, I believe, also was a professor, but he had just got a job. Are you ready? Missoula, Montana. Big sky country. Where when you look up, there's actually stars as far as you can see. I'd never been to Missoula. This woman was, this is a secular woman, unsaved woman, saying she was, I'm going to get away from the crime, the grime. How about this? The noise. I'm going to see wide open spaces, beauty, no more crowds, no more noise, no more density, open air where you can breathe like that. She gets out to Missoula, Montana. She starts her job. And because she is a professor of some variety, her first week there was a welcome on board. She's sitting around with half a dozen people, you know, drinking probably something they shouldn't drink. And they're drinking whatever, maybe coffee. They're drinking, they're talking. And she has never been happy in her life because she's away from the crime, the grime, the noise, all of that. She's in wide open country. She just says, I'm so happy to be here. And somebody says, where did you come from? And I'm going to say, I came from New York. And the first thing out of that person's mouth was, I'd love to be in New York or Boston or wherever. You know why? Because, well, we're professors. And out here, you only have the hoi polloi, the normal people. We want to be out among the important people. By the way, you know what the will of God is for you? A place to settle down. The will of God is not moving every time you get an itch or you want to follow your children. Good luck on that one. When your children have moved 12 times and you're following them, God bless you. We have it all. Well, there's another statement I want to make. I also learned this. You see it behind me, don't you? Go ahead, Christy, next. Now go back to the before, please. I just want to go. Now, I speak from experience. Young people, old people, and middle-aged people. The guy you're looking at grew up where my family has been since 1810. That place is dotted with every, in three or four counties, most of the people there are somehow related to me. Not weirdly, but distantly. We have been there for, I am the sixth generation. My daughter is the seventh. My grandchildren are the eighth generation in Illinois. It's in my soul. There are times, I don't share it with you because it's not your business, when like a wave, it can come over me. I want to go back home. I want to leave Crete to go back home. I learned this 40 years ago, nearly. A quote. Go ahead, Christy. You can go back, but you can never go home. Home is not, look at me in the eyes, it's not the Philippines or Mississippi or Tennessee or Texas or Iowa or Washington State. Home is an era. Well, look at me, with all of the connections. So let's pretend the guy you're looking at says, I'm moving back to Jersey County. I'm getting a farm out on the bluffs overlooking the Mississippi-Illinois River. I'm going to live in my home. My dad doesn't live there. He's gone. My mother doesn't live there. She lives in Springfield. Look at me. Everybody I knew 50 years ago doesn't live there. Home is not an area. Home is a, what you want is all those connections which you can't hold on to. This is my recommendation. Build your connections here. This becomes my home. Can I say this? When I go down to Springfield to spend time with my mother, whom I love, and we got to spend 4 days with over Christmas, and my two sisters, they tolerate me. I like them. I want to come. Are you listening? I want to come back. Where? Because this is my home. When I walk in this place, I want to see certain people. This is my people. This is my family. Can I say this? You can do anything you want. Some of you can play games till you're dead. Home is where you're at. It's an era of all the connections. And you say, I want to go back. I just can't wait to go back. Well, good luck. You're back to the here and there problem again. Can I say this, friend? I took my daughter and my son. Amy, I think it was once. One of my experiences as a child was going to a sale barn and hearing an auctioneer. I can't even do an auctioneer. Do you know what I'm talking about? What's an auctioneer? I can't even do that. Well, give me all, that kind of thing. I grew up around that. I took Amy and John to the sale barn. It was closed. It does not even exist today. The lake that I had so much fun on, Greenfield Lake, they don't let you swim in. We used to do horse shows in the 60s by Greenfield Lake. They haven't done them in 50 years. Everything I grew up around doesn't exist. You know where home is? Yes, you can go back, but you can never go home. Home is not an area, it's an era. And by the way, plant deep roots where you are. Build friendships, build relationships, build humor, build all of those sorts of things, because otherwise you're always looking for something. Look at me. That doesn't exist. All right, we move on to the harder part. That's the easy part. Titus 1, verse 4. To Titus, my own son in the faith, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And he starts enumerating basic concepts about the will of God for Titus. For this cause, left I thee in Crete, Catalepo. We'll talk about that in a moment. That thou shouldest, the root of that, by the way, is the word we get orthopedics from, that we can set in order, make things straight, the things that are wanting. Lepanta, by the way, is related to the previous word. They're both lepo words. That which is left, or that which is left left unfixed. And he says, and ordain elders in every city, here it is, as I had appointed thee. That's the will of God part. So what is the will of God? Number one, it's a place to settle. Number two, second component, problems to solve. Problems to solve. Problems to solve. This is a key in life. We do many callings, many functions, many vocations, many jobs, many livings. All of them are always about problems and solving those problems. That's what we do, folks. That's what God's will consists of. God puts us in a place, and in that place, we're there to solve problems of various kinds. Titus, I left lepo. Katalepo can mean abandoned, but in this text, listen, Titus, I left you there. I left you there to solve some problems. Can I say it another way? To fix some things. You need to set in order some things that I have left undone, is the idea. You have a play on words, and you need to ordain elders so they can keep things in order and lead churches in the various cities. You have a job to do, problems to solve. Look at me in the eyes. I hate problems, Pastor Warren. Everything you will ever do the rest of your life to the day you die are problems. That's what we do. Hey, look up here. Sorry, I don't want to interrupt. By the way, some of you are way too used to hearing me. I know. About 2005, there was a lady who worked here, Rose Mayfield. Her husband had grown up in North Chicago, African-American male, Christian, not exactly us. He is, at that time, I don't know about now, he was pretty high up in Abbott's at that time, before all the splintering up. I think he was a vice president of some variety. I wanted him to come in and talk to my children. Excuse me, wrong word, young people. I wanted them to hear, here's a guy, I didn't know his whole testimony. Here's a guy who grew up in North Chicago, African-American. By the way, I can already tell you, nobody expects anything except to stay in North Chicago. And so he came in. He walked in that day. I'm sitting in the front. He comes in. He's in the back. He makes everybody turn around and look at him. He starts talking about growing up in North Chicago. He says, I was just an average student. I could do math pretty well, but nobody paid attention. Somewhere along the line, he got a scholarship. Now, I'm going to say it, take a breather. He got it because he's black. You know what I tell a kid that gets it because they're black? God bless you. Use it. He went to, I think, either University of Illinois or Illinois State, probably University of Illinois. He did okay, kind of struggled along. Somewhere in college, it clicked in his head that he could become something. He's telling us the story. Now, I brought him in because I wanted to encourage the kids to get their vision up. He finally, after telling his testimony for 15 or 20 minutes, he says, do you know what my job title is? I did know what it was, like a VP of something. He says, that's not my job. I'm looking. Kids are like, he says, my job. And he says, I love my job. My job is, I'm a problem solver. I like solving problems. Anybody awake? You know what your problem is? You don't think life's about problems. Do you know every job you will ever have is about problems and solving those problems? When he said that, it was so quiet and it was a life changer, because you get a lot of people, well, let's not call them problems. Let's call them opportunities. Shut up. They're just problems. You know, the guy that comes and cleans the parking lot, that's a problem if there's snow in the parking lot. Somebody needs to get rid of the snow. The person that takes out the trash, it's not a problem if there's this much trash. But you know, after about a month and the trash is all out in the hallway, it's a problem. Everything we do is about solving problems. Boy, that helped me when he said that. I'm a problem solver, and I like solving problems. I have three little statements. I say this, see a problem. Secondly, solve a problem. If you're a blue-collar worker, or you come from blue-collar workers, I'll say both of those again. If you're a blue-collar worker, or you come from blue-collar workers, you see things exactly upside down and backwards. You walk into a room, and you walk in there talking about the boss. Shut your mouth. Here's anybody that goes forward in life. You start seeing a problem, I'm going to be the solution if I can to that problem. See a problem, solve a problem. The only thing you need to do past that is one more thing. Find the kind of problems that you like to solve. Anybody? So if you're 50 or 60 or 40 or 30 and you still don't have a clue who you are, there's a whole lot of reasons for that. But I can tell you this, it's going to encompass some kind of problems. Figure out what kind of problems you like to solve. Now, for me, I like medicine. For me, it was nice to come in. A person had an infection. My job in the laboratory was to do different various kinds of tests and help the doctor, help the nurses figure out what the problem was. I like that. I like pastoring most of the time. I don't care for pastoring when I have people that aren't really interested in really the will of God. They're really interested in saying, I'm saved. No, God has a will for you, Titus. And that will encompasses, number one, a place to settle, and number two, problems to solve. So, see a problem, solve a problem. Find the kind of problems you like to solve. And fourthly, do it for the Lord, or do it to the Lord, not as a martyr. Don't go around, oh, look at me, shut up. Everybody solves problems. Sometimes during the day, I'll come down from my office after class, sometimes before, after class, I'll come through the front out here. I have to use the restroom, and I'm going to say this kindly, and I smell an aroma out of the nursery. And it's not a good aroma. Can I say this to you in Greek? It's a problem. Now, nobody wants to see me solve that problem. You say, did you ever solve? I think maybe three times for John. I am sure, Dave, I was worse than you. Zero times for Amy. I didn't solve that problem. But can I say something? I have a good daughter that's real good at solving those problems. She's in there. She's got that baby laid out. She's got that thing all ready. She's cleaning them up. She's correcting in the past, my grandson's in there causing trouble. She's running the whole thing, and I'm just laughing my head off because thank God somebody knows how to solve those problems. You say, I don't like those kind of problems. What kind do you like? Finding out how to get the remote to turn on the TV? That's your problem? By the way, what gives you meaning in life and is a sense of accomplishment? So, see a problem, solve a problem. As you grow up, by the way, Dave, this goes back to Sunday school. As a kid grows up, they should start seeing the kind of problems they like to solve. Can I say this? If I bring a 500-page book to the average person in this room, you would panic and have a heart attack. I'm thinking, oh, that's nice. That's a good couple days read. I like intellectual pursuits. Not everybody does. Doesn't make me better. Trust me, if somebody isn't changing the diapers, it's really bad for intellectual pursuits. You say, what's your favorite thing? I like looking at 11th and 12th graders. And once in a while, you see one of them do this. The lights come on a little bit. I've had it come on with two kids in my Bible this year that never expected the lights to, one of them is still flickering. One of them is a young lady, the lights are coming on. One of them, the lights are still off. Some of them, the lights are, you know, okay. By the way, we had a young man, I'm not going to say his name, this guy right here found out something. He's had a whole family come to this school. All of them were average. And he found out the youngest can do math. And nobody expects the young one to do math. Nobody. Do you know what that does for a young person when it clicks on? Or you can spend all your time looking at your navel, whichever you would prefer, thinking about your feelings. By the way, the will of God for whoever you are is simply this, a place to settle problems, to solve lots of different kinds of problems. Yes, I like to see people saved. Yes. I also like to see people that got saved mature. Wow. Seeing folks get it, grow, move forward, seeing a maturing people. A young couple I knew in the past. No, and you can't guess who. That's not important. I'm going to come to the text in a minute. You're not going to like me. He wants to be a pastor. He came to me several different times, not here. Came to me, called me, talked to me several times saying, I want a pastor. And I say, all right, if you are making contact with churches. And he said, yeah, I went to a church. I'll make up a church. First Baptist Church of Rosedale, Illinois, which doesn't exist. Church called me. I said, wonderful. Have you talked to the people? He says, yeah, I talked to him. And every time he says the same two things. Are you guys ready? He says, well, I don't think they're going to be able to pay me enough. He wants to make about $100,000 a year as a pastor. I am 68, almost 69 years old. I'm still looking for that $100,000 too. Right, see what I'm talking about? Opposition right in church. But that's not the funny part. Look at me. He says this. He said, the church has too many problems. Did you know you're there to help with the problems? I think his idea is I'm going to go there and people are just going to say, Pastor, please teach. Oh, shut up. Never. You're so wonderful. We like your jokes. Really? Friends, problems to solve. He told 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 different churches he's gone to, and both, and every time he says, they can't pay me enough money. And too many problems in the church. Can I say this, folks? If you think that of churches, this is what you don't know. You don't know anything about a church. Dan, not criticizing your church, but I know something about it. You have problems. And by the way, if you went to another place, problems there too. Well, they might be different problems, sure. Now, friends, I can hear Titus saying to Paul, Paul, I don't want to stay in Crete. There's not a Walmart here. There's not a Bookies for me to play in. And besides this, this place has so many problems. I'm going to read some of them to you. He says, he could say to Paul, Paul, too many problems. There's no leadership. Well, your job is to be training leaders. I can't hear you. I have spent a lifetime trying to train. Not all of them have stayed. One of the good ones is Rick Melvin. The best one is this guy right over here. He's not perfect because of other reasons. I'm not going to say Pachungai. No. Love you, Pachungai. Welcome home, sister. By the way, there was no order there. There were unruly people there. There were empty talkers there, vain talkers. There were deceivers in the church. He says there were people in the church chasing King James English, filthy lucre, dirty money. There, he says all of the people in Crete are liars, and you want me to stay here, Paul? I want a better opportunity with better benefits and a better salary. And Paul's saying, no, 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 no. That's the reason you're there, to solve problems. That's what you do. Preaching, teaching, leading. You say, Paul, they're evil beasts. The King James, one of my favorite phrases, they're all liars, evil beasts, slow bellies, which I think has something to do with being a lazy glutton. What does God, through Paul, tell Titus to do? Titus, I think I'm going to counsel you to find a better church environment where you have more opportunities to maybe be with your, here's the language, to be with your family. No, you're here to solve problems. You got to settle down and you got to solve these problems. Now, please, everyone, look at me. Can I say this to everybody? I'm not mad at anybody. This isn't about this. I have people here that are either martyrs. Did you know what I, shut up. I don't care. Can I say this to you? I saw Louis Heras. Where'd that old geezer go? Is he in here? Maybe he's gone. I saw Louis Heras out here one time, out here by the bus barn. He had taken a lawnmower, and he took the entire thing apart in order. And I looked at that, and I'm like, I would shoot me and half the people I know to even look at that mess. And he thought this was fun. And he didn't come back and talk to you about how wonderful he is. Can I say this? I drive up to church on days off, and I always see a truck here. Anybody? Michael. Oh, he's here doing really, really interesting. He's out here picking up trash, picking up limbs. By the way, we all have to solve problems. Look in the text behind me. This is what Paul said to Titus. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. He's saying, I agree with you. They have a lot of problems. Rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Chapter 2, verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. First, verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. You got a job to do. Yes, there's many different things we like to do. I would say again, see a problem, solve a problem, find the problem you like to solve, and wherever it's a church, but in life. And by the way, go beyond that, enjoy it. Yes, I like certain things, but it's always about problem solving. Now, everyone, I'm going to be done in a minute. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit late. Forgive me. Please look at me. This is your New Year's sermon. I know the will of God for you. That is going to include a place to settle down. It's all, by the way, all of this daydreaming about going someplace. Okay, look at me. Go there and shut up. But you won't go there and shut up, because once you get there, you're looking for a new. Yes. Well, lastly, Titus 1, verse 5. For this cause I, Paul, left thee in Crete. So you have Paul, you have Titus. that thou shouldest set in orders the things that are wanting, and ordain elders. That's going to be part of the mix, as I have appointed thee. That the aged men, verse 2 of chapter 2, be sober. So you're going to deal with Paul, you're going to deal with elders, you're going to deal with older men. Verse 3, aged women, older women. Verse 4, younger women. Verse 6, young men. Number 3, the third component of the will of God, people to serve. There's a place to settle. There's problems to solve. There's people to serve. Every place you ever go. Now, not everyone works with people directly, but all serve, and all serve people in some way of some kind. You might serve sick people. You might serve little people. You might serve hungry people. You might serve sorrowing people. You might serve needy people. Hey, sorry to sleep. I hope some of you got some good sleep today. What do you think you're going to do tomorrow? You're going to be serving people in some fashion. By the way, find the kind of problems you like to serve and figure out how you serve people there. You say, I don't want to serve people. Has anybody in this room noticed in the last year how many influencers have committed suicide or OD'd? By the way, look at me in the eyes. Serving your belly button, even when you're a Christian, leads to dark places because we actually find meaning in serving people. Letitia, you know I love you and your two handsome sons and Big Mac, and you got another son too. The best thing that I've seen in Letitia's life, that lady, we ask her to start serving and working in the cafeteria a little bit. She does that. She does a lot. But that's not it. You guys ready? Look at me. She become the abuelita of all the kids. She's loving on kids. And it's beautiful to, and by the way, it's been good for you and it's good for them. Correct, sister? It's just beautiful to see you with those kids. She's out there mothering and grandmothering them. And she also helps in the school with the lunch program. Friend, there's always people to serve in some fashion. What's your fashion? You say, I don't even like people. Tell me a job that doesn't have anything to do with people somehow. Somehow it has something to do with people. We've had a rash of suicides, drug overdoses. You say, why? People lack meaning. They lack success, significance. They lack purpose. They're serving themselves. They're serving their emotions. I'm going to conclude with this quote. This comes from a Puritan in the 1600s. He said this, we serve God in the serving of mankind in our particular calling. My friend, I love serving people in some way. I personally wouldn't want to do a job that didn't have people. I wouldn't want people 400 steps removed. I still remember the night going into the laboratory. Dan, just so I compliment the United States Navy as opposed to the Army, though it's the same now. I was trained in the United States Navy how to be a med tech, which I got a whole world of parasitology that med techs from the outside never got. Parasites. I remember walking into the laboratory, the pathologists, two of them, pathologists, and all the hematology people had looked for malaria all day. They thought this doctor had malaria. They walked in, and the doctor knew me. The pathology says, Ralph, why don't you look at this? I found Plasmodium falciparum, the gametocytes, within 30 seconds. Do you understand how rewarding it is to be able to give a proper diagnosis to a doctor that can help a patient? That's serving people. By the way, we serve God in the serving of mankind in our particular calling. A place to settle, problems to solve, people to serve. That's the will of God for all of us. Let's pray, and we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together this morning. There's so much to say about this. We have people that are 40s, 30s, 50s, 60s, have no idea who they are. Life is just a time to look at their navel and wonder how they feel and wonder why they don't feel good. That's not where we find meaning at. We find meaning in those accomplishments, solving problems. We find meaning in serving people. We find meaning in settling down. We find meaning in the serving of mankind in our particular callings. May it be so for our church in this new year, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to have the Lord.